It's Rosie on the house. At your house. An Arizona Saturday morning tradition for Arizona homeowners. Privileged, humbled, and honored to be a part of your weekend for the last 29 years. Where we do what we can to take away the anxieties, fears, and worries you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. Whatever it is you're trying to tackle, we're here for you every single Saturday morning. 7 o'clock hour, we talk about whatever we want. We have a lot of fun. It's kind of like our Arizona, it pretty much focuses on Arizona. Romy's called it the, what did you call it, Arizona people?
People, places, and things.
Things. Okay, so I call it the Arizona Magazine Hour. But then when we bring in Dr. Sky, then we leave Arizona and no telling where he takes us, right? So 7 o'clock's always a lot of fun. It's really just you dropping in on the Romeros, and it's like we're at the house having a cup of coffee, talking around the breakfast room table.
I was talking to a gentleman by the name of Carrie, another one of those individuals with, like Rosie,
yes.
a feminine son
can go, can go either way.
But he runs Carrie's Pizza in Wickenburg, and we stopped in there for dinner. What night was the volleyball game? I guess it was Thursday night. And he recognized my voice, and he's like, man, I got to come over and tell you. I've loved the program for years, but that 7 o'clock hour has sent y'all over the top.
Well, we have a lot of fun with the 7 o'clock hour, so hopefully you're getting up and tuning in and catching. It's a lot of fun. 8 o'clock is our landscape and gardening outdoor living hour. 9 o'clock is the open line hour, where whatever you're trying to tackle, we encourage you to give us a ring. What did we make our way through last hour? About 9 or 10 phone calls, and took care of all kind of different kinds of topics, from scorpions to water pressure. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, we bring in our experts. We reach into our stable of building scientists and experts from across the state of Arizona, and we take one topic and we dive deep and go into great detail on it. So people tell me all the time that they save the newspaper articles and they put them in different chapters so that they can use them for future reference. They take the 10 o'clock hour and they catalog it in their podcast library under different categories, so they always know to refer to it. And now we're going to be talking about something I know most of you have tried to tackle at one time or another on your own, and we're going to bring in our good friend, the gentle giant, Don Breeze. Don, when did we join up? When did we met, what, about 93 or 94?
Yeah, it was fall of 93.
Yeah.
Fall of 93.
So Don and I have been good friends. We were running a remodeling company at the time, and we had decided to start our own complete in painting division. And we found Don and recruited him, and he ran our painting division at that company for a lot of years. Went out on his own, and we've recently in the last year been able to talk him into coming back and joining us at Rosie on the House Remodeling.
Yeah, and it's been like the first time where we paired up. It's been a blessing, and I'm happy to be a part of the Rosie Remodeling crew. That's
well,
for sure.
we count it a real blessing that you've joined us. And Don, you're a local boy.
Yep, born and raised
right here in the Phoenix area, and got into the trades young, and have been in them your whole life.
Yeah, my. My dad, all my uncles, my grandfather were all union carpenters. Started Sun City when it was brand new.
Boy, those were the days, baby.
I'm pretty sure.
Those were the days.
Yeah, it was. John F. Long, I think, still, my dad said, still had his bags on at the time.
I can't go back quite that far, but I tell you what, I can remember days driving out to Maryvale, John F. Long subdivisions, or Del Webb subdivisions in Sun City. And I mean, it was a traffic jam getting there for all the workers, because we weren't building at that time. Today, when we want to build a subdivision, we'll build a cul-de-sac out of model homes, and people will pick the Aspen model, you know, with, you know, the alternate bedroom being a study, and then they'll buy that home and they'll build it. Well, man, when I broke into the trades in the glory days, you didn't give anybody any options. You just built the entire subdivision, put a fence around it, and open it some Sunday morning and just let people camp out. And they had no options, no choices. They were given sold signs, and they'd open the gate, and you would literally run to the house. And the first one that could hang a sold sign on the front door, then they were escorted to the financing trailer set up on site.
Sounds like the land rush.
It was like the Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was just like that. And I tell you what, when we would be pouring concrete, you weren't pouring concrete in those subdivisions three houses a day. You were pouring 30 houses a day. And when the lumber drop came, it wasn't two bobtail truck packages of lumber. It was like four cargo flats of lumber. And you didn't have eight or nine carpenters on the job. You had 60 or 70. And in the cold mornings, we'd start firing the 55-gallon barrels of all the trash and the junk lumber. We all start the morning right there, warming our hands up before we had to start handling the nails. We didn't have any nail guns back then. It all had to be hand-pounded. And so there were some carpenters that would melt wax and drop their 16-penny nails.
Yep.
In the hot wax. And you could sink.
That predates me a little, but I did hear the stories.
You could sink a 16-penny nail with a pin hammer.
Yeah. You just got to grease it up a little.
You just got to grease it up enough. Oh, man.
Thank God for nail guns.
Golly. So those were the glory days. And, man, those days, we will never do things like we did back then, that's for sure. Yeah. But so you come into the trades a little bit later than that, and did you go straight into the painting trade?
No, I actually started working with my dad and my uncles and my grandfather at the time with a company called Oakwood out in Sun City West. So I framed for about a year and a half, and I'd worked some summers through high school with them, building cabins up north and some things like that. So, and then I got into actually doing storm drain work with an uncle of mine for about a year, and then I got into the paint and drywall industry from there.
And then I'm, like I said, I met you in the early 90s where you joined us as head of our painting division. And that's really how I've known you for the most of our relationship. And so I wanted to bring you in here and thank you for carving time out of your family weekend to join us here and talk about painting, something everybody thinks they can do, right?
That's true. Some find out that they can do it, and others not so much.
When you bring a new painter on, what are some of the first basic things you're instructing them? What are you bringing them on the job and beginning to expose them to?
Well, the first thing I think that we would walk somebody new through, depending on what their history and experience is, prep work and their knowledge of just the basic fundamentals that go into pre-paint. And from there, start to test them on their paint skill levels. So brushing and rolling and walk them, you know, and if they're in a position where they're going to be leading a crew or assisting in leading a crew, usually that moves you up into a spray man category. And so we just test their mechanics and go through really a regimen of just running them through over the course of maybe 4 or 6 weeks of what they can do, capable of doing, as well as the discovery of what bad habits they may be bringing in that we want to correct.
And I want to talk through the first day that person comes on the job, because a lot of the things you're going to be asking that person, watching him do, teaching him, coaching him, are exactly the same things the homeowners need to hear as their first day. Things that they may have painted, they may have repainted their dorm, you know, before the last apartment, but so they could get their deposit money back. You know, I can remember using toothpaste to fill holes for my spackle, you know. But I want to talk through the basics on, you mentioned prep, and a lot of people will just attack a painting a room without giving it the right prep. And, you know, after about 4 or 5 of those kind of paint applications, you can really start walking in a room and realizing, you know, somebody needs to get in here and do it right. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about little tips of the trade. I can remember going to work for a painter And the very first thing he taught me is where to put the paint can in the room when you're painting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's important. You don't want it, one, to be in your way, and but you want it to be, you know, in a place that's efficient. And that usually means that it's moving around with you. But it's just some of the logistics of how you're even setting the room up to prepare to paint it. Usually, you know, depending on whether or not you're doing the ceilings, that usually means, at least for the walls, that you move everything to the center of the room. And then, you know, part of the prep process is removing switch plates and HVAC registers, getting that stuff off the wall. Saves masking time, allows you to paint in behind those surfaces, because they always shift or move just a little bit, or if you change them out and they don't have the same, you know, footprint, so to speak, then you have to go get your paint can, do a little touch-up. So that saves you from that. And then the wall prep, the surface prep, so... you know, filling, you know, old nail holes, old screw holes, any texture defects, things of that nature would be things you'd want to address right off the bat.
And you bring up a good topic, the difference between wall painting and ceiling painting.
Mm-hmm. Big difference, big difference. Most people are willing to go after the walls, but they're not so...
Don, I'm going to come clean with you, buddy. I've got two projects going on at my house, and they both involve painting a ceiling. And I have put them off about 2 months because I hate painting ceilings and installing baseboard. Those are the two tasks I hate.
High and low.
High and low. Yeah. So we're going to come back with Don Breeze from Rosie on the House Remodeling and talk a little about tips of the trade and tricks when it comes to painting the inside of your house, especially the repainting.